A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 25 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Wednesday, 17th March 21. Dear God, today we are asking you to give us wise minds and spirits attuned to your will, so that we might acquire a thorough understanding of the way in which you work. We pray that we would live well for you, the Master, today, making you proud of us as we work hard in your orchard. As we learn more and more how God works, we will learn how to do your work. We pray that we will have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting our teeth, but glory strength that only comes from you, God. It's a strength that endures the unendurable, a strength that spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough today to take part in everything bright and beautiful that you have for us. Amen. Listen now for the word of God from the Gospel according to St. John chapter 10, verse 17 to 25. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me." When Jesus Christ spoke about his authority and submission to God at the same time, the Jews were quite confused. How could he be so authoritative and yet so humble? By claiming that the Father loved him because he was obedient to him, and yet saying that he decided when to lay down his life and when to take it up again, he was indeed confusing his audience. So the people had conflicting opinions about him. Some thought he was mad, and others wondered how a madman could possibly do the miracles Jesus had been doing. When they asked him to clarify their doubts, he directed them to his works. "Let the things I have been doing among you speak for themselves, and from there you judge whether I am divine or insane." Verse 25 of our text, Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me." There are several key themes that emerge from this passage concerning the character of Jesus. Think of his obedience to the will of God. Verse 17, "The reason my Father loves me is because I lay down my life only to take it up again. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus' whole life was an act of obedience to the Father. Jesus was not helplessly caught up in a mesh of circumstances from which he could not break free. So he did not lose his life, he gave it. The cross was not forced upon him. He willingly accepted it for our sake. Now, when Jesus spoke with so much authority and yet a high degree of submission to God, the Jews were confused, and some questioned his mental health. They thought he had an evil spirit in him and was mad. But others thought a madman could not speak so intelligibly and do the miracles he was doing. There are still many people who think the man of Calvary was a megalomaniac, because of course anybody who speaks about God and about himself in the way Jesus spoke, he or she is either completely deluded or else he is profoundly right. So how can we be so sure that Jesus was a normal person and not deluded? We need to look at several aspects of his life. So firstly, the words of our master are not the words of a madman. All the four Gospels testify to the claims that Jesus made about himself and about God, and the very beautiful words that he spoke to people to help them overcome their pain and destitution. Jesus Christ is the one voice which speaks God's sense in the midst of our delusions or false beliefs. And then secondly, the deeds of Jesus are not the deeds of a madman. He healed the sick and fed the hungry and comforted those who were in any form of sorrow, be it from the loss of loved ones or from their own sense of guilt. Those were not the works of a madman because they were completely selfless. Dear friend, the madness of megalomania is essentially selfish. Psychologists teach us that a megalomaniac is often subject to an obsession with power and a belittling of others, as well as feelings of grandiosity. Such madness seeks for nothing but its own glory and prestige. You know, nothing is so disturbing about Jesus of Nazareth than the egocentricity of his claims and the prominence of the personal pronoun in his teaching. He was, in fact, always teaching about himself. And although it is true that he announced the arrival of the kingdom of God It was only by adding that he was the person who had come to inaugurate that kingdom. However, Jesus Christ was the most selfless of individuals that ever lived. His life was spent in doing things for others. As the Jews themselves said, a man who was mad would not be able to open the eyes of the blind. And a megalomaniac would hardly give himself over to death for the sake of others, like Jesus did on the cross for you and myself. And then finally, the effect of Jesus is not the effect of a madman. The undeniable fact is that millions upon millions of lives have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. As of the year 2015, Christianity had approximately 2.4 billion adherents out of a worldwide population of about 7.5 billion people. All these people are not so foolish to subscribe to the Christian faith if its protagonist were a megalomaniac or a madman. Dear friend, the effect of Jesus on people and the world has been huge and continues still today. The weak have become strong. The selfish have become selfless. The defeated have become victorious. The worried have become serene. And the bad have become good. It is not madness which produces such a change, but wisdom and sanity. When native converts of the island of Madagascar used to present themselves for baptism, it was often asked of them, "What first led you to think of becoming Christians?" The answer usually was that the changed conduct of others who had become Christians was what first arrested their attention. "I knew this man to be a thief. That one was a drunkard. Another was very cruel and unkind to his family. Now they are all changed. The thief is an honest man. The drunkard is sober and respectful and respectable, and the other is gentle and kind in his home. There must be something in a religion that can work such changes," the converts would say. When the Jews asked Jesus how long he was going to keep them in suspense whether or not he was the Messiah, Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me." Dear friend, an honest person can review the evidence about the words and deeds and effect of Jesus on humanity and come to any other conclusion than that Jesus brought into the world not a deluded madness, but the perfect sanity of God. Nobody on the basis of the evidence can deny that Jesus has been so gracious in saving many from sin and tragedy. An American Indian was asked to explain the grace of Jesus. He took a pile of leaves and an earthworm. He laid the worm in the leaves and set the leaves on fire. At the last minute, he lifted it out and said, "That is the way Jesus saved me." I am sure you have your own story of salvation. Let the works we do in God's name testify about us as his children. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross to rescue us from sin and death and to restore us to the Father. We choose now to turn from our sins, our self-centeredness, and every part of our lives that does not please you. We choose you. We give ourselves to you. We receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in our lives as our Savior and Lord. Come reign in our hearts. Fill us with your love and your life, and help us to become people who are truly loving. Restore us, Jesus. Live in us. Love through us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. To my throne, as it was.